Welcome to the Rain Industries Q&A session for the fourth quarter of 2025. My name is Sarang Pani and I serve as General Manager of Corporate Reporting and Investor Relations at Rain Industries Limited. The speakers for today are Mr. Jagan Reddy Nellore, Managing Director of Rain Industries Limited, Mr. Gerard Sweeney, President of Rain Carbon Inc., and Mr. T. Srinivas Rao, CFO of Rain Industries Limited. Following the earnings presentation and management commentary released on 27th February 2026, we have received a wide range of questions from investors and analysts covering near-term market conditions as well as our mid- to long-term strategic priorities across business segments and balance sheet management. We will try to address these in the structured manner, providing as much clarity as possible while keeping our responses focused and concise. Before we proceed, the management would like to note that during this management discussion, we may take forward-looking statements that include various subjects such as outcomes, trends, targets, and strategic directions. These statements rely on our current projections and are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to vary materially from those suggested by these forward-looking statements. There are certain risk factors that could lead to significant deviations from our predictions. With that, we will now start the discussion today with Mr. Gerard Sweeney. Jerry, the first question has two parts and is regarding aluminium industry. We have been reading about significant aluminium capacity additions in India and Indonesia. How much of the incremental Indonesian capacity can Rain realistically cater to over the midterm, as currently the Indonesian aluminium market is largely served by Chinese suppliers? Also, can you cover the Middle East market dynamics, including demand outlook, supply situation, and approximately how much we currently export to this region?
Thanks, Sarang. And we're really starting here with a tricky question. Indonesia is one of the world's growing aluminum markets, very clearly, but it's also highly competitive and currently well-supplied with carbon from Chinese producers. We are continually developing relationships with new and existing customers there who value consistent quality, technical support, and long-term supply reliability. That's really what we bring to the table. On the second part of your question regarding the Middle East, it's important to highlight that our assessment today differs from what we shared during our initial investor call earlier this quarter. Within just 24 hours of that call, the situation in the region changed materially. Geopolitical hostilities have escalated sharply, and this has had an immediate and significant impact on global energy markets. Energy costs have climbed significantly over the past week, and new limitations on key exports are beginning to exert upward pressure on natural gas markets. This is already being felt in Europe, where supply concerns tend to amplify price movements, and similar effects are emerging in other regions relying on imported fuel. Market participants are now closely watching how prolonged these constraints may be, as any sustained disruption could deepen volatility and further strain global energy systems. In addition, the realignment of crude trade flows, driven largely by shipping constraints, has the potential to influence GPC availability globally, both in terms of volumes and quality, unless crude is sourced locally. Before these developments, Rain had a well-established and growing presence in the region. We have long been a trusted CPC supplier to several major smelters in the Middle East, and we were actively evaluating expansion opportunities in the coal tar pitch segment. However, since the onset of the conflict, several aluminum smelters in the region have declared force majeure. Their actions reflect not only localized energy curtailments, but also broader supply chain challenges that are beginning to manifest across multiple industrial sectors. We are monitoring the situation very closely because of the impact of these developments is likely to extend beyond the region and could create both the direct and indirect implications for CPC and CTP. That said, we believe Rain is well positioned to navigate this period of uncertainty. our globally distributed manufacturing footprint, flexible logistics network, and advanced blending capabilities, both for raw materials and finished products, provide us with some operational resilience. These strengths enable us to absorb disruptions like this in one region while continuing to support customers across our global portfolio. While the environment remains very fluid at this point, we are approaching it with both caution and confidence. Our diversified asset base and operational flexibility give us the tools to mitigate potential impacts, and we remain focused on ensuring continuity of supply, maintaining service levels, and preserving long-term customer relationships.
Thanks, Jerry. As a follow-up question on the aluminum market, what is the outlook for the revival of aluminum smelters in the United States, especially given the continued rise in electricity costs? How sustainable is any potential restart or expansion in the current environment, where LME aluminum prices and regional premiums remain strong while alumina prices are stable to slightly declining? Does this improve Rain's ability to pass on the higher carbon costs?
As we noted earlier, the U.S. has recently seen a series of announcements related to the aluminum industry expansion, both through increased utilization at existing plants and the planned construction of the first greenfield smelter in the country in several decades. All this new and expanded capacity will rely on carbon anodes, which require CPC and CTP as their key raw materials. Rain is strategically positioned to support this growth given our geographic footprint in North America and our long-standing relationship with these aluminum producers. One dynamic worth highlighting is the evolving U.S. electricity landscape. With electricity prices rising, data centers have become major buyers of power and are generally agnostic regarding higher power costs, unlike aluminum smelting, which is highly energy sensitive. We have already seen in Europe how spikes in energy prices led to significant curtailments and even shutdowns of aluminum smelters. However, we understand that the recently announced smelter expansions in the U.S. have proactively secured the necessary electricity supply to support their planned capacity increases. This gives us confidence that these projects have been structured with long-term operational stability in mind. Turning to aluminum and aluminum pricing, current price trends are supporting strong smelter profitability. However, it is important to recognize that the delivered price of CPC and CTP to each smelter is fundamentally shaped by regional supply and demand dynamics for those raw materials rather than aluminum prices alone. This is where Rain's operational model provides a competitive advantage. Our flexible logistics and supply chain configuration allow us to efficiently serve both domestic customers, including new U.S. smelting capacity and customers across global markets. As regional markets conditions evolve, this flexibility ensures that we can optimize our product flows while continuing to meet customer needs reliably and economically.
Thanks, Jerry. The next question is, how does the current geopolitical situation impact Rain operations? How are the current U.S. tariffs impacting Rain?
Let me begin with the question on tariffs first. As outlined in our management commentary, U.S. tariffs do not have a direct or material impact on Rain's operations. This is because the vast majority of our key raw materials, as well as our finished products, including CPC and CTP, are included in the extensive list of items that are exempt from U.S. tariff measures. As a result, our supply flows into and out of the U.S. remain largely unaffected. With respect to the broader geopolitical developments, we continue to monitor the global environment very closely, particularly given the ongoing hostilities in the Middle East and their effect on global energy markets. The situation remains highly fluid, as you can imagine. While it is too early to draw definitive conclusions, prolonged instability in the region has the potential to influence crude and LNG markets, global freight routes, and the overall supply-demand balance for several key inputs linked to our business. Our commercial, procurement, and logistics teams are actively evaluating these evolving dynamics to understand any potential implications for raw material availability, shipping patterns, or customer operating conditions. This includes assessing potential shifts in crude supply flows, changes in LNG pricing and availability, and any secondary effect that could influence market fundamentals for the materials we produce. Based on what we know today, we see only a reduced impact on Rain's operational matters. Our diversified global footprint, flexible procurement options, and resilient logistics network continue to provide meaningful insulation against near-term disruptions. That said, we are maintaining a high level of vigilance. If conditions in the region begin to materially affect trade flows, input costs, or customer requirements, we're prepared to act swiftly and decisively. Our priority remains ensuring continuity of supply, safeguarding our operations, and supporting our customers through any potential market volatility. We will continue to track developments closely and adapt as necessary, maintaining a balanced posture of caution and confidence as the global energy situation evolves.
Thanks, Jerry. The next question is, with China operating under aluminum production caps and exporting its CPC, could you explain the recent trend in Chinese CPC exports and its pricing? Specifically, what were the key reasons behind the spike in CPC prices in China during the second quarter of 2025? Also, please comment on whether the prices of low sulfur GPC alone has increased or if the price of all grades of GPC have increased.
As we highlighted in our management commentary for the fourth quarter of 2025, the primary driver behind the increase in GPC prices is the growing demand from battery anode material, or BAM, industry. The BAM sector continues to expand rapidly as electric vehicles and energy storage markets scale up. And this has created significant new competition for the lower sulfur GPC, a material traditionally used by calciners to produce CPC for aluminum smelting. Initially, BAM producers began importing low sulfur GPC into China, and that shift alone drove a substantial rise in market quotations for this grade of product. As BAM producers advanced their blending practices and started incorporating additional GPC grades, the price increase broadened across a larger GPC spectrum, affecting material availability and pricing globally. While GPC prices have risen sharply due to this incremental demand, calciners worldwide have been more constrained in passing these cost increases to CPC customers immediately. Contract structures, pricing cycles, and competitive market dynamics often create a lag between higher material costs and adjustments to CPC selling prices. This timing mismatch has placed temporary margin pressure on calciners in general until CPC pricing can reflect the higher cost base.
Thanks, Jerry. Before moving on, some questions on the distillation business of Rain's carbon segment. What is the current capacity utilization level of the CPC plants in India and the United States markets? Additionally, how is the ramp-up of blending facilities progressing?
Following the relaxation of import restrictions in India, our carbon segment's two Indian calcination plants are now operating at approximately 90% of capacity, or potentially a bit higher. This reflects both improved raw material availability and strong domestic demand for CPC in India. Looking at our calcination operations globally, we're currently running at about 70% of total capacity. We expect this utilization rate to increase in the second half of 2026 as market conditions continue to normalize, raw material flows improve, and demand across our customer base strengthens. Our teams are actively coordinating logistics and procurement to ensure we can efficiently support this upward trajectory in operating rates.
The next question is about carbon segment's distillation business. What were the primary reasons for the volume decline during the fourth quarter of 2025? What is the current utilization level of Rain Carbon's distillation plants?
Our carbon distillation volumes in the fourth quarter of 2025 came in lower than expected due to a combination of customer-related factors. The largest impact came from an unplanned outage at one of our major customer smelters, which temporarily curtailed their ability to take product. In addition, another customer faced the potential shutdown of an associated carbon plant, resulting in their inability to accept the volumes we had scheduled for the fourth quarter of 2025. These challenges were further compounded by the delayed timing of a large volume shipment that we had expected to complete before year end, but ultimately fell into 2026. Even with these temporary disruptions, our underlying operations remained stable, and we closed 2025 with carbon distillation running at about 70% capacity utilization.
Okay. The next question is follow-up on the Rain Carbon distillation business. Given that CTP is largely a regional market and that Rain is the largest market player, and considering that CTP represents a relatively small percentage of aluminum smelter costs, why does price pass-through remain challenging during the periods of cost inflation?
Thanks, Arun. As we mentioned earlier regarding LME and alumina pricing, CTP pricing, much like CPC pricing, is influenced by a combination of raw material dynamics and the supply and demand balance for finished products within each region. These regional market conditions vary considerably around the world, and as a result, they directly affect the delivered price of CTP in those specific geographies. While CTP may represent only a relatively small portion of a smelter's overall cost structure, our customers remain highly disciplined in tracking the costs of every individual input. They evaluate each component independently and set their pricing expectations accordingly. This sensitivity to input costs is a consistent behavior across the industry and continues to shape commercial discussions on every level.
Thanks, Jerry. Before moving to the advanced material segment, we have one last question on our carbon segment about the usage of alternative raw materials. Can you give guidance on what percentage of Rain Carbon segment raw material requirements will come from alternative materials in 2026? And what would be the cost competitiveness of these materials compared to our traditional raw materials? How are our competitors dealing with these raw material issues? Has there been any reduction in supply from our competitors due to their inability to source the raw materials?
This is a good question. In our carbon distillation business, we continue to make meaningful progress on developing alternative raw material sources to supplement and, over time, partially replace traditional coal tar. Our technical services teams are actively collaborating with several key customers as we advance this transition, ensuring that any new feedstock aligns with their performance requirements. At the same time, our R&D teams are focused on optimizing and expanding the use of alternative blends while maintaining the product quality and consistency our customers expect. This includes rigorous testing, qualification work, and close coordination with customers throughout the development process. As a converter, we also closely monitor the cost competitiveness of these alternative materials relative to coal tar, while ensuring we have the volume flexibility needed to meet market demand. Our objective is to balance cost, reliability, and performance as the raw material landscape evolves. Unfortunately, we're not in a position to comment on how our competitors are addressing these raw material constraints, but we remain confident that our strategy and the progress we are making is the right path.
Thanks, Jerry. A follow-up question on the advanced material segment. Was the main Asian pressure in the fourth quarter in Rain's resin segment business only, or does you see any impact in the segments, engineered products or chemical intermediates business as well?
It's important to highlight the seasonality within our Advanced Materials segment. Historically, both the fourth quarter and following first quarter tend to show lower volumes in this business, reflecting the natural seasonality of several key product lines overall. Within our resins business, results were pressured by higher energy costs in Europe, which directly affected production economics, as well as by increased pricing competition from Asian suppliers. The combination of these dynamics created a challenging margin environment throughout the year for our resins business. In our engineered products business, which includes our next generation offerings such as CarboRes and PetroRes, we continued to advance our market position, although these products also face growing competition pressure from Asia. While our asphalt sealer engineered products in North America remain largely insulated from Asian competition, they are inherently seasonal, with demand concentrated in warmer months. This seasonal profile contributed to lower activity in the fourth quarter. Finally, our chemical intermediates business, which includes our benzene, toluene, and xylene product portfolio, was impacted by a significant decline in crude benzene quotations during 2025. This sharp drop in benchmark pricing resulted in inventory valuation losses over the course of the year. Overall, while these headwinds affected performance in the near term, they reflect well-understood market factors and seasonal trends across our Advanced Materials segment.
Thanks, Jerry. We now have a few questions for Mr. Jagan. On the energy storage material side of the Advanced Materials segment, could you outline the Rain's long-term strategy, including expected CapEx plans and the potential product opportunities being pursued?
Thanks, Arun. Rain views energy storage as a critical pillar of the future energy landscape. It enables on-demand access to green energy, helps balance intermittent renewable power sources, and plays a foundational role in stabilizing modern energy infrastructure. As this market continues to expand globally, we intend to grow alongside it, particularly in areas where our coating technologies, specialty products, and production expertise can add meaningful value. We believe the North American energy storage market is entering a strong growth phase, supported by increasing clean energy investment and supportive policy frameworks. That outlook is a key reason for establishing our demonstration facility in Canada, which serves as both a development hub and a platform for customer engagement. We are currently working with several industry partners and government entities to help shape the future of this business, exploring opportunities across multiple parts of the energy storage value chain. While it is too early to specify which area we will invest in, our approach is disciplined. Any investment we pursue will be backed by a corresponding supply of agreement to ensure commercial viability from day one.
Thank you. Our next investor question is from both Advanced Materials and Carbon segment. Will we see any benefit from our research and development initiatives in 2026?
Rain has a long history of commercializing materials developed through our R&D efforts, and these innovations span all our business segments. Our portfolio includes more environmentally friendly raw materials for our resins business, serving the rubber industry and other sectors worldwide, world-leading anode coating materials for rechargeable batteries, next-generation environmentally friendly, improved asphalt sealer products, and advanced hybrid pitches for specialty applications. In 2025, we also began operating under our marketing and distribution agreement with China Steel's Chemicals of Taiwan, to sell mesophase carbon microbeads, or MCMB, into the North American market. MCMB is an important precursor material used in the production of rechargeable batteries for a smaller scale devices such as power tools, drones, and other portable electronics. This initiative expands our participation in the energy storage material space with an additional high-value product line. Beyond these commercial activities, RAIN continues to invest aggressively in research and development. We are advancing new materials while also exploring new applications for our existing products across the rapidly growing energy storage and advanced material markets. These efforts are designed to drive future production opportunities, support deeper market penetration, and position RAIN as a meaningful contributor to the evolving global energy material supply chain.
Thanks, Jagan. Our next question goes back to the carbon distillation business. Could we have an update on the status of our new CTP facility in India?
Thank you for the question. Our distillation project in India is progressing through the early stages of design and engineering. At this phase, our teams are focused on developing an optimized configuration that leverages as much of our existing site's infrastructure as possible. This approach allows us to manage capital costs effectively while ensuring we maintain the operational capabilities required for long-term growth. We are working towards a targeted startup in the fourth quarter of 2027. As the project moves from design into detailed engineering and subsequently into procurement and construction, we'll continue to refine schedules and provide further updates in the coming quarters.
Okay. The next question is also on the carbon segment on CPC imports into India. Are Indian aluminium smelters increasing sourcing CPC domestically, or do they continue to rely on imports up to permissible limits depending on pricing arbitrage?
Indian smelters continuously adjust their CPC sourcing mix based on supplier reliability as well as evolving logistics advantages and constraints. While domestic supply plays an important role, imports continue to remain a part of the procurement strategy whenever pricing arbitrage is available within the regulatory and operational limits. This flexibility allows smelters to optimize costs while ensuring secure and consistent supply.
The next question is a general one across all segments. Considering various factors and the headwinds faced over the past 2 to 3 years, how optimistic management is about business environment and growth prospects for the coming year? Hello.
Yeah, one second. So. We are pleased to report positive net income for the third consecutive year quarter, along with a steady stepwise improvement in EBITDA, consistent with the trajectory we have outlined in previous updates. These results reflect the discipline with which we have managed the business through a period of meaningful headwinds. By maintaining a strong focus on operational efficiency, cost management, and reliability across our assets, we are now seeing the benefits of those efforts flow through to our financial performance. Looking ahead, we remain reasonably confident about achieving further improvement in 2026 compared with 2025. Our outlook is supported by strengthening global aluminum demand as well as multiple smelter capacity expansions underway outside of China, both of which translate into higher expected demand for our products. Based on our current projections, more than 50% of RAIN's revenue in 2026 is likely to be driven by the aluminum industry. At the same time, we remain mindful of evolving geopolitics dynamics, which can introduce volatility and unexpected developments. We will continue to monitor these factors closely and remain agile in our response while staying focused on executing our strategy.
Thank you. The next question is regarding our cement segment. It is good to hear that we have delayed the expansion in cement production capacity. What are the reasons for the decision, and when will we take a relook at this again?
Following the recent consolidation in the South Indian cement market, the large pan-India players have been actively leveraging their well-established national brands through the dealer networks they acquired in the region. This has intensified competition, particularly in retail channels. At the same time, we have not seen a meaningful uplift in regional cement demand. Extended monsoon conditions and slower than expected progress on planned infrastructure projects have contributed to muted consumption levels. Given these market dynamics, we have made the prudent decision to defer our brownfield expansion. In the interim, we are using the time strategically to further optimize the project's cost structure through innovative engineering and procurement approaches. This positions us to move forward with the expansion at the right time and with the improved capital efficiency. We will share revised timelines once the execution plan is finalized and the market backdrop becomes more conducive.
Thanks, Jigan. Our final set of questions is for Mr. Srinivas. The first question is regarding the increase in working capital. During 2025, the net working capital increased from 26 billion to 62 million rupees in December 24 to 39,991 million rupees in December 25, while EBITDA rose from 14,981 million rupees in CY 24 to 22,749 million rupees in CY 25. As aluminium demand improves and CPC prices remain elevated, how should we think about the impact of working capital requirements going forward?
Thank you, Sarang, for the question. Over the past 12 months, our working capital requirements have increased significantly by approximately 13,729 million rupees. This increase was driven primarily by higher finished goods and raw material prices during the period, which naturally expanded the value of inventory and receivables on our balance sheet. In addition, the successful ramp-up of our carbon segment's SEZ facility in India has created a new layer of working capital needs as we build the inventory and support the broader operating cycle of the plant. While this is a positive development for our long-term growth, it does temporarily increase our working capital intensity. Looking ahead, we expect working capital to rise further during the first half of 2026, largely due to the timing effects associated with India's GPC import quota allocations. However, we anticipate a corresponding release of working capital in the second half of 2026 as these timing dynamics normalize. Overall, we are managing working capital proactively and remain focused on maintaining balance sheet discipline as the business continues to grow.
Thank you. The next question has two parts and continuation today. In the current macro environment, could management outline its overall capital allocation and deleveraging strategy, including debt refinancing timelines, expected interest rate savings, fiscal year 26 debt repayments, and any consideration of equity issuance?
Thank you, Saral. Reducing long-term debt remained one of our top financial priorities for the past few years. During 2023 and 2024, we made approximately 80 million euro of prepayments on our Term Loan B. Part of these early repayments covered our scheduled amortization requirements through September 2026, helping us strengthen our balance sheet ahead of plan. In addition, in 2025, we repaid $44 million of senior secured notes that matured in April of that year. In total, across the last 3 years, we have repaid approximately $132 million of principal, reflecting our disciplined approach to capital allocation and our commitment to deleveraging. As we look forward, we continue to actively monitor debt market conditions and remain prepared to pursue refinancing opportunities that could lower our interest burden when market dynamics become favorable. At this stage, we do not have any plans to raise equity either at the Indian parent company level or at any of our subsidiaries during the year 2026.
Thank you. The next question is, what is the CapEx outlook for 2026?
Over the past 2 years, considering the reduced earnings, we have maintained a strong focus on capital discipline. As a result, we limited our spending to mandatory CapEx and essential turnaround and compliance-related projects. This disciplined approach is reflected in our 2025 CapEx spend of $53 million, which was one of the lowest levels in the past 5 years. For context, our capital expenditure in prior years was $78 million in 2024, $72 million in 2023, $85 million in 2022, and $74 million in 2021. The significantly lower capex in 2025 was largely the result of consciously deferring several discretionary and growth related projects until market conditions and earnings visibility improve. Looking ahead to 2026, we expect CapEx to increase moderately to between $60 million to $65 million. This spend will continue to prioritize mandatory investments, safety and environmental compliance, and essential maintenance required to ensure the reliability of our operations. We will remain disciplined and selective in deploying capital while preparing to accelerate growth investments when the business environment becomes more supportive.
Okay. The next question is, what is the net impact of the Indian rupee depreciation versus the euro, ruble, and US dollar? How should investors think about currency fluctuation and their overall earnings impact?
Rain's long-term debt is denominated primarily in US dollars and euros, and we maintain a natural hedge by holding adequate assets and generating operating cash flows in these two currencies. As a result, while foreign exchange rates may fluctuate from time to time, we do not expect those movements to have a material impact on our overall business performance. Our Indian carbon business remains reasonably protected from currency volatility, with any impact not exceeding a quarter. The pricing of calcined petroleum coke in India naturally adjusts with the movements in the US dollar and Indian rupee exchange rate. Because both domestic CPC producers and Indian aluminum smelters benchmark their CPC pricing to import parity levels, this ensures that a depreciation of the Indian rupee against the US dollar has a minimal impact on our margins. With respect to our European operations, an appreciation of the euro can make our exports slightly less competitive, since a meaningful portion of our external sales from Europe are transacted in US dollars. However, the volume of these sales is relatively modest at the consolidated group level, so any impact would be limited and not materials to RAIN overall financial performance. Overall, our currency risk profile is reasonably managed, supported by natural hedges within the business, diversified geographic operations, and a disciplined treasury approach.
Thanks, Srinivas. The next question asks about the current capacity utilization levels at each RAIN segment.
In 2025, our capacity utilization remained reasonably better across the major business segments. On a full segment basis, our carbon plants operated at roughly 70% utilization, reflecting steady demand and operational performance. Advanced materials ran at around 60% utilization, consistent with our strategic shift towards higher margin products. Meanwhile, our cement operations achieved approximately 65% capacity utilization. Overall, these utilization levels position us well for incremental growth as we continue to drive efficiency across the portfolio.
Thank you. The next question is about the sharp movement we have seen in Rain's other comprehensive income, which appears to be driven by the Indian rupees depreciation versus the euro and the US dollar. Should investors view this as a meaningful economic impact, or is it largely an accounting translation effect?
Yes, you are right. Of the total movement of 8.8 billion rupees in other comprehensive income for the year 2025, approximately 7.1 billion rupees relates to the translation gain arising from the consolidating our foreign operations. This reflects the currency movements during the year and the strengthening of certain foreign currencies against the Indian rupee. The remaining balance primarily represents remeasurement adjustments for our defined benefit obligations, essentially actuarial changes linked to employee retirement benefit liabilities. These movements are non-cash in nature and stem from periodic updates to assumptions such as discount rates, inflation expectations, and demographic factors. Overall, the OCI movement this year is largely driven by translation effects, and the remainder linked to standard recurring actuarial recalibrations of long-term employee benefit liabilities.
Thank you. The next question is on net debt to EBITDA, which has improved from about 3.9x in December 24 to about 3.2x in December 25. Is it reasonable to expect further improvements towards about 2.5x levels by December 2026?
We do anticipate further improvement in our net debt to EBITDA ratio as our earnings trajectory continues to strengthen and our cash generation profile improves. Both operational performance and disciplined capital allocation remains key focus areas for us, and they should support ongoing deleveraging. That said, while the direction of improvement is clear, we cannot provide a specific target or commit to an exact level by year-end 2026. The ultimate ratio will depend on several external factors, including market conditions, pricing environment, and currency movements, as well as internal decisions around growth investments. What we can emphasize is that the balance sheet strengthening continues to be a priority.
Okay. Here is our last question for today's session. Please give details on the receivables written off relating to an associated company, including the nature and reasons for the same.
Rain holds a minority stake in a German joint venture operating in the chemical sector. Historically, this joint venture sourced certain products from our Belgium and German facilities, and the commercial relationship had been stable for several years. Unfortunately, the joint venture experienced significant financial stress due to conditions specific to its business, ultimately had to file for insolvency. As part of the insolvency process, it became clear that the amount owed to us for the past product deliveries would not be recoverable. In addition, the value of minority equity investment in the venture was fully impaired. As a result, we recognized a write-off covering both the outstanding receivables and our equity stake. This is a non-recurring accounting impact as does not affect our ongoing operations or customer relations in Europe. Importantly, there is no disruption to our production or sales channels, and we remain confident in the performance and outlook of our European facilities. Overall, while the insolvency is unfortunate, it represents a contained event with limited impact.
Thank you, Srinivas, Jagan and Jerry. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes Rain's management Q&A session for the fourth quarter of 2025. Thank you.